Welcome to episode 210 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on December 29th, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In our 210th episode, the last episode of 2020, in this slow week between Christmas and New Year's, we talk about call queues in Microsoft Teams, big green eggs, Microsoft certification renewals, and a change that may impact your advanced hunting queries in Microsoft 365 Defender. For those of you listening, you should go watch the video because Scott has flashing lightsabers on his sweater.
I do. I'm wearing my Darth Vader Christmas sweater. I thought we could close out the year on a high note.
It would not take much to close out this year on a high note.
Well, I figured, you know, like the dancing lightsabers going across my chest would be nice and distracting for you in the video.
Dancing. I'm just going to stop with dancing lightsabers on your chest.
So be it, if that's the way you wanted to go.
So how was your Christmas? We don't have to dive into our topic right away. Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Played around with the green egg and did some more smoked meat again. So did a nice, like, I don't know, like dry rub paprika something or other thing with a bunch of like bone-in chicken breasts. And they came out excellent, but it is many days later and I'm still eating them. like my microwave is working overtime every day. Because one of the things when you go out and you do pandemic cooking for a smaller audience, you don't find recipes for smaller audiences. There's still big audience recipes. So you're just like, yeah, you know what? I do need like 8 pounds of chicken to cook for four people. Let's do it.
Well, you could deliver some over here. I am still mourning the loss. Did I ever tell you about my ceramic fire bowl and my egg that it broke?
No, you broke. Ooh. I'm sorry.
Oh, so I don't know how I missed this, how I missed informing you of this. It broke near the beginning of the pandemic. I'm going to say it's been at least 6 months now. It's a big green egg. It's about 9 years old. So I called up a local store here in Jacksonville. I said, hey, it just cracked. Like I went to pull it out to clean it out and it literally came apart in 2 pieces in my hand. So there was a crack that went all the way around kind of the base of where the bowl comes down at the bottom and you have the little circular thing there at the bottom. So it cracked all the way around there. So I called them. I said, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, oh, let's hope we can get that covered under replacement or under warranty. Because it is so heavy, they drop ship it to you on a pallet, and shipping alone for this fireball is like $100.
Yes. Yeah, replacement parts for the egg are very, very like bad.
Hats off to the local store here in Jacksonville and Big Green Egg, because they said, yep, we got it all covered under warranty, even though it's 9 years old, shouldn't have done that, we'll get you a replacement part. But COVID. So lo and behold, 6 months later, they cannot get replacement fireballs under warranty for whatever reason. So I called them like 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and they essentially said, you'll be lucky to get it before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed that the light is at the end of the tunnel, or that I'm nearing the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'll be able to get this fireball under warranty and replaced here relatively soon. But I have been eggless for most of the pandemic.
You know, like manufacturing has been one of the most interesting things during pandemic to me. Like you have hospitality services, all these other things.
Yep.
But manufacturing was hit in a really like a way that you don't realize unless it like directly impacts you. Like you can't get the part for the thing. It's kind of like COVID, right? Like you might not think it's a big deal until you know somebody that has it or gets sick from it or whatever. But I've gone through like a lot of that this year. So little part in our dishwasher went bad. The heating element. Okay. It's a $30 part. I can order it, like hop on Amazon and order that thing, but it's back ordered until who knows when. And I have a home warranty, so it's covered under the home warranty, but I can't get the home warranty company to get the part and bring it in. And it's been, it was about 5 months of waiting for that part to come in. And it was so long that I was without a dishwasher that it was actually better for my sanity, my marriage, my life to just go out and buy a brand new dishwasher rather than wait for this $30 part to go ahead and come in and get shipped. Same thing's going on right now. Like my wife got into minor fender bender, somebody rear-ended her. And the rear quarter panel of her car needs some work, and there's a part that needs to be replaced in there. And you would think, okay, like, you know, it's a car part. You just go to the warehouse, you pick that up, you call AutoZone or NAPA Auto Parts or whatever it is, and figure that out. Not so. They are out of that part, and they have no idea when it's going to come back in, and the car cannot be fixed by the insurance company until that part shows up. But my wife's not too burned about that one, because she gets a free rental car while it's going on, and she's really enjoying having modern things like CarPlay in her car.
You're never going to get that car back, Scott. That car is going to end up being sold and replaced with something brand new, because she will not be able to revert to non-modern car technology.
Yeah, I will just have to get her like CarPlay for her car. That'll be the kind of end story of that one. Because her car is very modern. It's got like Bose sound system, all those kinds of things. It's a nice car, but it is a 2013, which is pre-CarPlay.
Got it. My cars are like 11 years pre your wife's car.
Well, okay. I mean, you know about the Malibu minivan I drive, but
the minivan is 2011. My Camry that I bum around town in is a 2002. I don't even have Bluetooth.
I don't either. I do one of those FM transmitters for Bluetooth.
Okay. I just throw in a single ear pod and don't worry about it. Or AirPod.
AirPod. You and I, we're living the dream, man. Living the dream.
Yes, absolutely. I am also living the, I don't even know where I was going to go with that. Living the dream of something else. Not of an M1 Mac yet. No. I have so much stuff on my Christmas list, Scott, that I didn't get. Primarily because nobody would spend that much money on me. I have gadget problems. Or money problems. One or the other.
Could be both.
Very well. It could be both. I will readily admit to that. There we are. You probably didn't get into cloud engineering to spend hours manually sifting through layers of data or manually creating reports to understand and explain your Azure costs. Neither did the IT pros at ShareGate, which is why they built ShareGate Overcast. ShareGate Overcast is an Azure cost intelligence tool that reduces manually monitoring and helps you make cost-efficient engineering decisions. And it can help you lower your Azure bill. ShareGate Overcast scans your Azure environment daily and analyzes your cost data. It automatically identifies cost issues and gives you the insights you need to fix problems fast. Plus, with personalized cost savings recommendations, you can be sure you're only paying for the resources you need. Best of all, you can get ShareGate Overcast free. Find out more at ShareGate.com/ITPro. That's ShareGate.com/ITPro. I did have another problem I ran into, though.
Oh, yeah?
With Teams. Yeah. So this was an interesting thing I found with Teams. I was working with a client that was curious about switching from another provider. So they wanted to go, I don't know if they were like with Grasshopper or there's a few of those well-known. There's another one that I'm drawing a blank on right now. But wanted to switch to Teams Audio or Teams Phone and use like the auto attendance, the call queues, all of that PBX type functionality in Teams.
Yep.
And one thing you can do in Teams, because I have it set up on mine, is a simultaneous ring. So they call Teams, it rings my cell phone so that if I'm not at my computer, if my Teams client isn't open anywhere, I'm still able to answer the call just as a normal cell phone call because it rings both numbers simultaneously. This works great for auto attendance, for forwarding, for all of the calls except call queues. So if you are a member of a call queue, which is, and if people aren't familiar with call queues, you can essentially go into Teams to find a call queue, like let's say the help desk, for instance, and let's drop these five people in the help desk and then say, ring them sequentially. Start at the top. The top one doesn't answer, ring the next one, ring the next one, ring the next one, or ring everybody simultaneously. First one to grab it gets the call. That does not simultaneously ring a cell phone. It will only ring in the Teams client when a phone call gets sent to a call queue that you're a part of.
Yeah, and I see the disappointment there, but it kind of makes sense that you're dedicated to a business process as part of that queue, right? And I think a lot of that functionality is, it's analogous to being in like a well, you're in the waiting room and the receptionist is letting people in, like kind of first in, first out kind of thing.
Yep.
And you're tied into whatever that process is. And that was probably functionality that was built out around the concept of like still potentially physical call rooms and call centers, not like the call center is the call center and now Ben's at home, but he's still working in the call center because he's not allowed to go in the call center because of COVID.
Right. And that's what, as I was thinking through it, it's not, I'm disappointed for my client's sake because that was something they really wanted. They were like, I don't want to have to rely on Teams clients. I want to be able to do cell phones. But as I think through it, it's kind of what, like what you said is some of it's the process. And I also can see where that functionality could be tricky because let's say it hits a call queue, right? And you're doing like a sequential ring. What if one person's voicemail on their cell phone picks up quicker than another one? Technically, that would be receiving a call in the call queue. And now this voicemail gets left on a personal user's cell phone because a cell phone voicemail picked up the call, rather than letting it keep going to the next person in the queue.
Yeah. So is the answer there maybe a little bit more training for users? So if you are on a mobile device, theoretically, you're on a modern mobile device. It's iOS or Android. It supports the Teams app, and it has LTE connectivity. So if you're on the go, you can take that call or whatever that is that it looks like. So it is technically dialing your cell phone and Teams at the same time because Teams is an app on your phone.
Right.
But yeah, you'd have to train people to get through that one.
Yep. And that's essentially what it is. It's like if you want to use call queues and you want it to ring a mobile device, you really have to get used to just having that Teams app on your mobile device and doing it that way rather than relying on the simultaneous ring. It does end up being a little confusing because every other time it will do a simultaneous ring. So it caught me a bit by surprise when we were going through and testing all this out and building it all out, when all of a sudden we hit the call queue and it's like, simultaneous ring doesn't work there. So Anywho, just a little tidbit.
Yeah, you'd have to like forward in from a single person into a group and then back out of a group, and it would be very, very weird.
Yeah.
Although you can do simultaneous ring in groups, just not in queues, which is different.
Right. Yes, it'll work in groups and it'll work in like auto attendance where it's like dial by name or press 1 for Ben and 2 for Scott. Yeah, it's just in that queuing functionality. But other than that, I mean, everything else seemed to work well. It was just, you got to kind of be cognizant of those call queues. And I think it might also have to do with people's hours, right? Like, maybe people
very much so, yeah,
are in the office or out of the office, and you want to tie that call queue to their status. I mean, maybe you could still tie a simultaneous ring in there, but I think there's a lot of intricacies with call queues and how calls get accepted in call queues that do make that simultaneous ring functionality a bit more challenging or maybe impossible to build out. What I am curious is how some of the other telcos do that, because that was what it came down to, is like some of these other ones, the other competitors do let you have cell phone numbers in call queues. So I don't know, again, maybe it's functionality that will come. It's just a bit more complicated to build out with Teams being fairly new compared to some of these others in the phone space.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, is you're dealing with potentially traditional telcos and voice providers who had no choice other than to build out around existing phone infrastructure versus apps and those technologies. So Microsoft being Microsoft-centric, and that's the view of the world, why wouldn't everything just be in Teams? Like, why do you need a cell phone if you have... Why do you need a cell number in the queue if you already have the app?
Right.
Kind of thing. But like you said, that'd be an interesting fix as well, is be able to associate any phone number with a call queue, whether that phone number is provisioned in the tenant or not. So Ben's mobile device comes along and you just need to add that to a call queue right behind Ben's Teams number. And that way, if he doesn't pick up his Teams number, you're the next one in the queue. And then it would ring your cell phone. And then if you don't pick up your cell phone, then go to the next one.
Yeah.
So on and so on. You should go put that on User Voice or something,
We should. Well, I haven't looked on User Voice to see if something's out there or not, but I think you also have to, going back to the voicemail then, set timers, right? There must be a way to detect if it was a voicemail or a real person answering. I'm not sure. I'm not that well-informed on PSTN specifications.
Oh, come on. You should be reading RFCs. You should be living them.
Yeah, breathing them. But somehow you'd have to, again, be able to jump past a cell phone too if it went to voicemail, or somehow, or if the voicemail answered it, it's like press one to accept the call. And if one doesn't get pressed, it automatically jumps you down and doesn't receive it. I don't know. I'm sure there's some way you can figure it out. People smarter than me in the telco space can comment and tell us how that would work.
Yes, yes, yes.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry Software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry Software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
What else is going on? Did you hear that certification renewals have been announced for Microsoft certifications?
You mentioned that last week. So I heard it, but I have no idea of any of the details because I didn't actually read the article you sent about it.
Gotcha. Well,
so renewals.
Yes. Microsoft made a huge push for these role-based certifications. So think like the Azure certs, you know, the AZ, what started as the 100 and the 101 and the 102 and the 103. And I think it's the 104 now, the 300 yep. series, 303, 304. There's the PL series with the Power Platform stuff. There's the DP series with Data Platform. Anyway, all these new role-based certifications, they kind of rolled out a couple years ago. And there really wasn't a great story around renewals, nor has there ever been a great story around renewals for Microsoft certifications.
Like, this is not nothing new about a lack of renewal.
Yeah, Microsoft certs typically in the past, they would come out, you would sit the cert, you know, you'd study for however long you needed to study, 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever it was, or you'd be like Ben, you'd go and fail it a couple times until you pass it.
There you go.
But, you know, for a lot of people, they do. Like, they spend a lot of time studying for that certification. They get it, you hold that cert until it expires, which, you know, let's call it 2 years later, and then you have to go through that whole cycle again. Like, a year and a half later, you have to sit down, you have to think about studying, like, how did the test change? Is this the technology I want to be in? All those different kinds of things. So to kind of ease some of that burden, and I think align with just the way technology moves now, and that it does move at such a rapid pace, those role-based certifications are still going to come out. And after a new cert's been out for 6 months, they're going to also release renewal certifications, or I guess assessments. Yeah, assessments that you can go and sit and take to renew and extend your certification further. So beginning in February 2021, so in about 2 months here, renewal assessments are going to come out for just a ton of the role-based certs that are out there today. So all the M365 certs, like developer associate, security administrator associate, all those, the IoT certs, DevOps, the Azure Administrator Cert, the Azure Developer Cert, all these things are going to have these renewal assessments available. A couple cool things there. So Microsoft certs are also not free. Like, in addition to your time to learn a certification and be able to learn the underlying technologies that go along with that cert, you also have to pay for the test. And that test could cost anything from like $100 to $200 US, depending on the test and how long it was and when it came out and what was going on with it. Well, you're still going to have to pay to take the original test. But once you pay the test and pass the test and you're certified, renewals are free. So there's going to be no cost for renewals at all. And renewals will be available through what looks like the same kind of assessment engine that's available inside of Microsoft Learn today to have you go in and have you go in and keep doing that. So that's really cool. You can now renew your certs without having to pay for or pass any additional examinations, which is really cool.
Yeah. So when you say similar to Microsoft Learn, is it like the assessments in there where it's still a like a multi-question test or scenario test where you don't have the documentation, you have to know all the maybe the new stuff, the updated stuff, the upgraded stuff, and answer the questions appropriately? Or is it more of a Microsoft Learn where you go through and you read about the new features, you read about some stuff, and then you take like a short 3 or 4 question assessment about these new, this new functionality or these new features, just to make sure that you're staying up to date with the releases? Does that have that type of information or don't?
TBD. I haven't seen it yet. From everything I've seen and read, it sounds like it is just going to be part of Microsoft Learn. And there's also an interesting thing, like if you go into the facts of the FAQs about certification yep. renewals, there's a question in there which comes up a lot when people take their certs the first time, which is, how many times can I sit the exam? Like, if I sit it and fail it, when's the next time I can take it? And if I fail it again, when's the next time I can take it after that? How many times can I fail it? How long can I keep taking it?
Those are for people like me that don't study, that just have to go keep failing until we pass.
Or they're for people like me. I've written books about the Microsoft certification process and how to study for some of these exams, and I am horrible at taking them. Like, I'm not a good test taker. Yep. I get very amped up and worked up, so I tend to fail the first time a lot of the time too. And that's always been a question. But these assessments, these renewal assessments, they're a little bit different. So if you ask the question, how many times can I retake the assessment? The answer is, you may retake the assessment as many times as you need to take it to pass, but you must pass it before your certification expires. If you don't pass it the first time, you can immediately attempt the assessment again. So you don't even have that 24-hour waiting period in there. However, after the second try, you do have to wait at least 24 hours before any additional attempts.
Okay. So is this a testing center thing too? Do you still have to like register and go into a testing center? Or is it, again, like you had said with the Microsoft Learn, you literally just sit at home? And I know there's certain assessments, they don't care if you're looking at stuff or any of that. They just let you sit at home, and as long as you work your way through it and get it all right. Or are those more details we don't know yet?
No, it's just online through Microsoft Learn.
Okay. So it is just sit at home, work through the assessment. So it's more just making sure you're current and you understand yes. what's current, more so than retesting you on what's been updated.
Correct. You would have to reassess more than you might have to recertify, but going in at a quicker cadence, like if you're actually working with this these technologies, that makes sense. The assessments should be more up to date. I imagine that if they are just kind of public assessments, Microsoft will get called out, you know, maybe more so than they do today around like certification questions. And these are outdated. Like, how am I supposed to know this thing that 6 months ago for a service that went away that I never even had the chance to click the create button in the portal because it was deprecated? like all those yep. things should, my hope would be that those kind of take a back burner and they do focus on what's available today. How would you translate the skills that you had 6 months ago into this new business process or thinking about moving things forward in this way from here on out? So there'll be a couple impacts there. You'll still have to get your initial certification. Once you get your initial certification, you have to take the renewals if you want to keep the certification. If the certification lapses, then you have to go and sit the whole cert again and do all that.
Got it. Interesting. Guess I'm going to have to go now, like carve a day out a year or something, or every couple of years to go do like 10 assessments.
I don't know like what that's going to look like. There's a pretty exhaustive list of all the assessments that are coming out in February and March. You know, I'd certainly be interested. Like, I'm coming up for some of my renewals, and you know, I'd be interested in sitting down and doing them and seeing what's changed along the way.
So does it say anything in those assessments about, like, we talk about the series of them, right? Like Office 365, you have MS-100, you have MS-101. I think there's like a 400, a 401. Do you have a assessment for each one of those in a series? Because, for instance, I have the Microsoft 365 administrator expert certification. Is there like one assessment to keep my expert, or do I have to go take four assessments for each of the four exams that it took to get that expert certification?
As of today, it says one assessment for that exam. For the expert.
For the actual. So you reach a certain level and there's going to be an assessment to keep that certain level, not an assessment for each test that it took to get that level.
Correct. So as of today, there is a renewal assessment specifically called out for Microsoft 365 certified enterprise administrator expert.
Okay.
Same thing for the Azure ones, like Azure Solutions Architect Expert. That's comprised of two exams that has a specific assessment called out. So does DevOps, which is also comprised of multiple exams.
Okay. Right now, is it primarily just focused on the expert? Because you have, what, there's an associate level, an expert level?
It's focused on associate and expert.
Are those the only two levels right now?
Yeah, like I don't, well, there's the fundamentals one, like the Microsoft.
Well, those are just like essentially one test.
Correct, but so is the Azure Administrator exam, right? You sit the AZ-104, okay. It's only one test. You sit the Developer Associate exam for Azure, it's only one test. But those don't look like they have renewals, and maybe that makes sense because they're so kind of fundamental anyway. Like once you have the fundamentals, should you need to renew your fundamentals if you keep going in the same space? Probably not.
Yeah. And although, to be fair though, some of the definitions and services and products and what you use when might change. I could see a fundamentals assessment. I don't know.
Yep.
Well, we'll wait and see.
Here's a rub for you, though. You can renew just the... It looks like you can renew the expert level certification, but that does not automatically renew the associate certifications that were underneath it, which is a little bit weird.
Oh, yeah, it is. So you'd still have to go take multiple assessments,
yes.
One for your associate level and one for your expert level.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work, but it's not very clear the way they have it worded in the FAQ.
Scott, they do need assessments for, now you got me thinking, they need assessments for fundamentals too, because you still get things like, let's go Power Platform fundamentals, where they changed the name of everything in the CDS database, where it's no longer entities and fields, and now it's all Dataverse, and I can't remember what they changed the names of. I think they changed entities to fields or something like that.
Columns or, something like that.
Something like that. Technically, that would be a fundamentals assessment change, I would think, is how did CDS change to Dataverse? How did those entities change to fields or columns and all of that? I am stating they need assessments for fundamentals because of the marketing team.
There you go. I'm sure the marketing team loves you for that.
Scott in no way endorses this. This is all me as a non-Microsoft employee making fun of Microsoft marketing. Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business. There was another name change, though. Didn't you send me one today?
Oh.
We don't need to go into that. Should we talk about that one?
There are tons of name changes.
That's like an episode in and of itself. I just popped open the link you sent me.
Advanced product hunting name changes.
Oh my word.
Can you keep up with that list?
So some of these I thought had already changed.
Some of these have changed, but now the changes are actually coming downstream into things like Sentinel. So if you're querying in Sentinel...
Well, do we want to dive into this now?
Yeah, we can dive into it.
Okay, we'll dive into this one.
Advanced hunting product name changes. So way back at Microsoft Ignite, everybody remembers that, right? Like in the like before times of 2 months ago.
Are we talking in person Ignite or virtual Ignite? No,
we're talking virtual Ignite, but it was only like 2 months ago. How could we forget? It's not like there's been other things going on. There was a bunch of name changes announced for products in the threat detection space at Microsoft. So all these things that fall under the Microsoft 365 threat detection portfolio. So Microsoft Threat Protection, MTP, became Microsoft 365 Defender. Microsoft Defender ATP, Advanced Threat Protection, became Microsoft Defender for Endpoint. Office 365 ATP became Microsoft Defender for Office 365. And Azure ATP became Microsoft Defender for Identity.
Can we say one thing about this list? Why is it not just Microsoft Defender? Why does the one product have to have the 365 in it and none of the other ones do?
I don't know.
Marketing?
Yeah.
I'm taking up beef with marketing.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some PM.
Anyways, keep going.
We'll have to get a PMM on someday and have them explain how that...
Explain that for me?
How that stuff goes. Anyway, this does have some impacts if you are doing advanced hunting. There's a couple of tables that are going to be impacted when you're thinking about querying inside of some of these products, right? So you want to go in and work with kind of that 30 days of raw data that's available to you. You should be aware that in the alert info and alert evidence tables on January 25th, 2021, these values are going to change. So that old value, like if you were querying, say, for an alert info where the service source was Microsoft Defender ATP, now you're going to have to query for where your alert info, where your service source is equal to Microsoft Defender for Endpoint, which means if you've written custom queries that you're going to want to go out and update some of those. So not only are the service sources changing, but also the detection sources as well. So things like was just MCAS as a detection, just MCAS, Microsoft yep. Cloud App Security. Now it's actually Cloud App Security all spelled out in detection source. It's just gotten like, you know, some things are cleaned up. Some things are just a little bit stranger.
Like Windows Defender ATB. ATP having its new name of EDR. That one is...
Yes.
No, I agree. For the most part, what this does is in those data sources, it actually matches the values in the data source and that detection source and that service source to what the product names are that people are now familiar with.
Yes. You just need to be aware it's coming. I don't know if they push out those changes like inside the product. So you see like a little bubble or anything like that that tells you like, hey, you need to update this query because it's not going to work.
Yeah. I haven't been in there recently enough to know. I would hope so, but it's a big deal, especially if people are relying on these for those alerts and whatever else. Changing those values can... big impact on queries that you've already built.
So you might want some OR statements in there just to make things come together.
Yes, because so I'm assuming all your old queries will, like all the data should still work. Like if you query for the new product name because that's just changing the source values, your data will still be there.
There's going to be a period where both exist because those raw logs are available for 30 days. So from January 25th, 2021 until 30 days past that, you would have potential like up to day 29, you could still say yep. have Microsoft Defender ATP and Microsoft Defender for Endpoint, both as valid service source values, which are the same exact service source. After day 30, then you've only got the new stuff because the old stuff has all aged out unless you've pulled that data and put it someplace else.
Well, but if that service source is just a field value, couldn't it technically all get the new value? I don't know how it's all stored on the back end. Like if, for instance, if they changed a field name from Defender ATP to Microsoft Defender for Endpoint, and technically all that data is still in the field just with a name change on it, a query would work. You just have to always have the new value.
Yeah.
Unless it's stored in like JSON files and they're not going through and doing a find and replace on everything.
Yeah, they're not going to do a find and replace, right? Like that data exists, it sits out there. Like that's a bigger change than just saying query for both of these for 30 days and past right. 30 days.
Does it sit like a document DB where it is? It's like a NoSQL document DB type. I have no idea where all that data sits on the back end. and blob storage.
Azure Data Explorer, Kusto.
Got it.
So if you take a look at the query language, it's all KQL.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
Yes, that is not something I have done. I've done a little bit with that, but I haven't done a ton yet. More stuff to play with, Scott. Always new stuff to learn and play with.
Always, always new stuff.
Like sensitivity labels and teams that I didn't get to talk about. My episode gets hijacked by myself.
Good job. Now you've done
it. My call queues. Now I've done it. We'll have to talk about that next time because I spent some time playing with that. Sensitivity labels and teams, groups, and sites is kind of, it's interesting with some quirks people should be aware of.
Interesting with some quirks.
It's interesting with some quirks.
Gotcha.
Like a lot of products in that space. But we can talk about that another day because for now, I actually have a meeting to go to. Imagine that, a meeting between Christmas and New Year's.
You're animal, man. All mine got canceled.
Yeah, I think it's the only one I have this whole week. So I will go do that meeting. I will let you go enjoy your lightsaber Christmas sweater, your coffee, and your Christmas break. Are you working at all this week?
Yes, I'm working this week.
All right.
No meetings, though. I'm getting stuff done.
Enjoy your so you can put focus time. Your workplace analytics will come back with lots of focus time this week.
Yes, it is going to come back with not a whole ton of meetings, but I've been having some fun here. I'll put this in the secret chat for you. Go take a look at that one. That's been my fun for the past couple of days.
Perfect. I'll go take a look. I always like these weeks when you can just sit down and focus on something like that.
Yeah.
Well, go get back to that. I'm going to go jump on my meeting and enjoy the rest of your week. And we will talk to you in 2021.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.